Well, good morning. We are continuing our Transform series this morning, where we are looking at how we as people are changed and transformed. We started off this series looking at how setting goals is an act and declaration of faith, that we are going to partner with God to be transformed. Last week, Pastor James talked to us about how our spiritual health is transformed and changed. And today we're going to look at how our bodies, how our physical health is transformed and changed. Now that conversation, our physical health, it's broad and it's diverse. There's all kinds of realities that we could look at with sleep and eating and relate, all different kinds of things. And so if you're here and you're like, you know what, I need to take my physical health a little more seriously, or perhaps at some point through the message, you're like, yeah, I need to do that. We really, really encourage and recommend the Health Project. You heard about it in the Need to Know, information's in your handout. It's this project about taking our physical health more seriously as an act of worship. It's run by a former staff member here, Stan Weens, and it's a great resource for us. So you can get information, like I said, in your handout or online, but that's a great, great place to invest your time. Because physical health is so broad, there's just no way we could look at all of the components therein this morning. But what we do want to do is we want to really focus in and narrow in on one dimension of having our bodies transformed. And we want to look at stress. Talk about stress this morning. How do we move beyond living a stressed out life and enter into living the blessed life that the Lord has made possible for us? How do we do that? We're going to look at habits for being transformed and changed. And we're going to use probably the most well-known portion of the Bible to guide our time, the 23rd Psalm. Psalm 23. But before we jump into that Psalm, let me just ask you this. How many of you would like to leave with less stress than you came with? How many of you are carrying more stress than you would like? And how many of you feel that stress is on the rise in your life? According to one study, the average rising levels of stress in us is 5% a year. How do we move beyond a stressed out life? Because we all feel in various ways the pervading presence of stress in our lives. There's the pace of life. There's employment or a lack of employment. There's moving or the need to change your living accommodations. There's illness or injury. There's marriage and divorce and singleness and complications in every one of those spheres. And there's financial tensions, and there's death. Sometimes just living is hard. So this morning, if you're tired or weary, worn out, you picked a great morning to come. In a fearful, worried, loud, hyper-connected, and stressed-out world, the Lord in His kindness has given us Psalm 23. It's only 6 verses, so we're going to go line by line through it, trusting that therein we will find the pathway to peace. Psalm 23 says this: "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely Your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Verse 1. We start with, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing." The first thing we're told is that our shepherd gives us everything we need. Therefore, for everything we need, we should look to our shepherd. And this single change, looking to God to meet all of our needs, this will change us. It is so easy to look to other things or other people to try and fill something within us, to meet a need that we have. But looking to our shepherd who gives us everything will change us. You know, we need to stop putting our security or finding our satisfaction in things that we can lose. Because we can lose all kinds of things. We can lose jobs, we can lose money, we can lose health, we can lose our reputation, we can lose relationships, but none of us can lose our relationship with Jesus. So if we place our security, if we place our satisfaction in Him, we will lack nothing. In Romans 8, we read, "He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things?" What that means is, if God loves you enough to send you Jesus, don't you think He loves you enough to take care of all of your other needs as well? If He loves you enough to give you Jesus, don't you think He will take care of everything else as well? I think the clearest way to put this is by just saying really clearly, if the Lord is your shepherd and you don't have it right now, then you don't need it right now. If, and this is only true if the Lord is your shepherd, if the Lord is your shepherd and you don't have it right now, then you don't need it right now. That is a hard truth to hold on to. But when the Lord is our shepherd, we lack nothing. That relationship, that job, that pay raise or promotion, that fill in the blank, if the Lord's your shepherd and you don't have it right now, you don't need it right now. In my journey over these last few weeks, every time I have thought of something that would be nice to have, no matter what it is, trivial or major, if I've thought, oh man, I wonder what it would be like to have that, or oh, that would be nice, or that would be lovely, every time I've thought that in my head, I've just responded, I've adopted the habit to say back, if I don't have it, I don't need it. Oh, that'd be nice to have. If I don't have it, I don't need it. Because the Lord is my shepherd. I don't have it. I don't need it. Will you join me in that habit? Every time you think, oh man, that'd be nice, or I wonder what it's like to have that, or I need, no. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. This is the foundation that we build on, the foundation for our lives. I lack nothing because the Lord's my shepherd. And this takes us to verse 2, which says, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. So much of the stress in our lives comes from the pace of our lives. We live in an instant pot world where so often the things that are necessary take a crock pot. Right? Everything can be so instant, but the things that matter and the things that are most important to us take time. We need to rest. We need to be. And it's been this way. This is from the very beginning. This is how God created humanity to operate. We need to rest. We need to lie down. Any of you ever thought about creation from Adam's perspective? Right? Trivia time. Anybody know? Not you, front row, because you were here last service. Anyone know what day Adam was created on? The sixth day. You were here last night. Day 6. I said front row. Day 6. Adam was created on day 6. Full of energy, full of life. God gave him a job to do, rule over creation, name the animals. Adam's like, all right, I got things to do. I've got the energy to do it. Let's go, God. Day 7 comes around. He wakes up and Adam's like, all right, I can't wait, I can't wait. And God's like, no. Today we rest. Today we rest. This reveals so much for us and to us. Resting is not just for when we're tired. Resting is meant to be a regular rhythm in our lives. It's been that way from the beginning. Resting will lower stress. You know, if God wanted to, he could have created us without the need for sleep. If he's going to give us 60, 80, 100 years on earth, why wouldn't he give us 100% of that time to be consciously worshiping him and serving him? Or could it be that our worshiping and glorifying him is also done in our resting and in our sleeping? We need to give ourselves permission to do this. Even in our busiest seasons, there's no excuse. We need to rest. God's word is full of instructions about the importance and necessary reality for us to rest. The Bible's filled with it. It's in the Big Ten, the Ten Commandments. I mean, resting lives on the same street as do not murder. It's that important for us. And I think that's why verse 2 says, he makes me lie down. Because nobody's doing it. Our shepherd is making us lie down. Remember last week, Pastor James said that we are the sheep in the relationship with God? You know, sheep aren't smart enough to rest. And so often we're not either. Even if we're fully alive, we need to rest. I heard this one story about this guy at a church, and he was talking to his pastor, and he's like, "Oh, pastor, I tried to reach you the other day, but I couldn't get a hold of you." And the pastor says, "Oh, yeah, you know, that was my day off." And the guy responds, "Well, pastor, you know, the devil never takes a day off." And the pastor responded, "Yeah, and if I didn't, then I would be just like him." I say it cheekily, but I ask you honestly, who would you rather be like? Never taking a day off? Or modeling our lives and our habits and our schedules as the Lord does? We look to our shepherd to meet our needs. He makes us lie down. And then we obey his wisdom and we rest. That takes us to the second part of the verse. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. And that's the third thing we need to do. We need to refresh our souls. And a great and primary way to do this is with beauty, right? Green pastures, quiet waters. We refresh our souls with beauty. And beauty is so important for stress management. It inspires us and it encourages us and it motivates us. And even as I was this week going through and, you know, thinking and contemplating about beauty, it was just like, it's so good. Beauty recharges us. So surround yourself with beauty. What kind of beauty? Well, that's up to you. There's all different kinds of beauty for all different kinds of people. But here's just one really practical idea for today's world. Start the day with beauty, with God, and not media. Not news, not social media, not a screen, not your phone, not your TV, not a text, not your email, not the news feed, not Instagram. Start your day with beauty. What that means for you, I don't know. Maybe it's just the beauty of yourself and your humanity and just starting the day by going, taking some time to breathe. Just the beauty of who you are, being human and resting. Or maybe it's the beauty of time with the Lord, praying, listening to worship music, writing out prayers, journaling, praying through your day, reading his word. Or maybe it's spending time with the beauty of the people around you. Now, you might be thinking, beauty in the first thing? You have no, don't say that. Start with the beauty of the people around you. A friend, a spouse, a child. Start with beauty, not with media. Because of sin, there is just so much ugliness in the world. There are a lot of unpleasant things. I remember seeing a couple months ago now a screenshot someone posted online, and it was, you know, the Apple News Spotlight. So it's the screenshot, Apple News Spotlight, and then it says, "Start your day here. Crowd gunned down. Earthquake in some country." start your day with that? Who wants to start their day that way? Start your day with beauty, with God. It will better enable you to handle the chaos of the brokenness around you. It'll help you process and view the brokenness of our world and those realities of our world better. You know, some of us here probably need to do a fast on media. This might surprise you, but you could do a fast from all screens for this entire Transform series, and it will not make a difference in the world out there. But it could make every difference in the world in here. It could change everything. Look, I'm not against screens. I'm not against social media. I'm not against phones. I think they can be a wonderful gift. But I also know that they make a terrible God. Who or what you look to will raise or lower your stress. Seeing more pictures, more text, more video, seeing more of all these things, it does not increase your love for beauty, it dilutes it. One pastor said that the single greatest gift that our phones will give us is one day showing that we all had more time to pray and love our neighbors. Man, that's challenging. You know what? That is unbelievable timing. Just to give my friend an out, he was here last service. So he was. That's amazing. Friends, if we take a portion of the time that we spend on our screens and dedicate that towards prayer and worship and silence, our stress would dramatically decrease. Dramatically. Because we are refreshed and recharged with beauty. Next, Psalm 23:3 says, "He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake." We believe that our shepherd guides us. Who wants more guidance in life? Anyone? Yeah. You know, every choice that we make has a consequence. C.S. Lewis once wrote that every choice you make is slowly turning you into either a heavenly or a hellish creature. Every choice has a consequence. I want guidance for those choices. And if you're anything like me, then you're indecisive. And we can head to, you know, forks in the road, and there's all kinds of options, and it's like, oh, I don't know, and the stress can unravel us. Let's make God our number one source for guidance, because he always tells the truth. I love the promise of James 1, verse 5. It says this: "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." God gives wisdom generously, and he gives it graciously. God is waiting to give you wisdom. You just have to ask. If you need wisdom, ask. Ask. Then read the Bible. Wait. Rest. Pray. Think. Sense. And the Lord will give you wisdom. It may not be immediately. It might be. But it may not be. But the Lord will guide you. He will do it, friends. He will give you wisdom. God will put that idea or that answer in your mind. Because God will always guide us at the right time. Not the wrong time, at the right time. So if you have a major decision that you need to make in 16 months, chances are the Lord's not going to give you that answer right now, because he wants you to grow the muscles and the faith to walk by faith day by day by day. But he will always guide you when you need to be guided. He will always give you the wisdom that you need. He will do it at the right time. If you need guidance, you need your shepherd. If you need guidance, you need your shepherd. Once we have guidance, we come to perhaps the most well-known part of Psalm 23, verse 4. It says this, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Don't miss the order here either. Notice how this comes right after God giving us guidance. Even when the Lord is giving us guidance, we will find ourselves in dark valleys. We will make our way through difficult times. And we know some valleys are darker than others. And some of us this morning are going through the darkest valley. A lot of reasons. It could be discouragement, depression, debt, a death, conflict. But some of us are walking through dark valleys right now. What do we do? How do we make our way through them? Well, a valley is made dark because of shadows. Chances are some of you here have the traditional translation memorized. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Shadows can be really scary. Remember as a kid? Shadows, scary. Maybe even still. Shadows can catch you off guard. But shadows become far less scary once you know the source, right? That person who's following you, it turns out it's just a tree. Not as scary once you know the source of a shadow. But there's three other things that we would do well to remember about shadows. And the first is that a shadow can't hurt you. You know, a truck can hit you, and that'll really hurt. A truck's shadow can hit you, and I think you'll be okay. Shadows can't hurt you. Second, a shadow is always bigger than its source. Sometimes our fear for the event or our uncertainty in the future is far bigger than what the shadow is, what the event really is. I mean, even my shadow here, like from the lights, it's so much bigger than I actually am. So often our fear is greater than the actual event. And third, and most importantly, wherever there's a shadow, there's a light. Wherever there's a shadow, there's a light. And this is all about perspective. We will walk through the darkest valleys. Lift your gaze. Look to the light. Say, "Lord, I am absolutely surrounded in darkness. Can you show me where you are? Can you show me where you are, my shepherd?" That is a prayer the Lord loves to answer. In this trauma, in this pain, in this horrific event, in this valley, "Lord Jesus, where are you?" He loves to reveal to us where he is. Because he's always with us. He is always with us. Therefore, we will not fear because he's with us. This takes us to verse 5, where David gives us this, the next step through a metaphor. And this metaphor is really telling us that we need to let God be our defender. Let God be your defender. You know, this isn't going to surprise anybody here this morning, but there are people in this world who will hurt you. There are people who will hurt you. There are cynical, critical, hurtful, vengeful, bitter people. Maybe a coworker. Maybe someone's jealous of you. Maybe a family member keeps cutting you down. Maybe it's a friend who has betrayed you. Well, you look after betrayal in the dictionary and you'll see betrothal. Maybe it's a spouse who has hurt you. There are people who will hurt you in any form, in any forum, public or private, to your face, behind your back, by gossiping. Anybody want to give a testimony? There are people who will hurt you. But friends, hurt people hurt people. And there are a lot of hurting people in our world. Hurt people hurt people. And we're surrounded by hurt people. We must choose to let God be our defender. You know, when people hurt us, what's our response? We want to clap back. We want to retaliate. We want to get even. But the thing with getting even is it just puts us on their level. And that's not where we want to be. We must let God defend us. You know, it's no secret that our civilization is losing its civility. The internet's not helping. Keyboard courage is a real thing. People say all kinds of hurtful things to you or to other people. And it's so easy to have that kind of mentality because you're so disconnected from emotions and from the consequences of your words. We must let God be our defender. So how do we respond when people hurt us, when people attack us, when people seek to harm us? How do we handle mean people? You want to know the secret? We don't. We let God handle the situation. We let God be our defender. David, he is a pro at this. David knew what it meant to be attacked in every way, verbally, emotionally, physically. For so much of his life, he's on the run, he's hiding in caves. The king of the country and his entire army is hunting him down. They have a smear campaign, they're sending rumors out. His son tries to take him out. And in the midst of all these people trying to take David out, David says, "Oh Lord, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil." He'd never say a bad word. He would never clap back. He never retaliated. He says, "Lord, you love me and you see me. You're paying attention and you prepare a party for me because I am your person. In spite of my critics, my cup overflows. In spite of my enemies, you prepare a table for me. I trust you, Lord, to defend me." More important than David is knowing that we are never more like Jesus than when we are silent under attack. Jesus was attacked constantly at every turn. He was called a glutton. He was called a drunk. He was called a fake. He was told that he came from the devil. And Jesus never responded. He never retaliated. Perhaps most amazingly, he never even corrected them. People are saying all kinds of fake things. He doesn't say, "Well, actually, I'm not a drunkard." He just lets them say what they want to say. He trusted that the Lord, that God would defend him, that God would have his back, that God would protect him. This takes so much faith, so much humility, but it reveals our confidence in the Lord. It reveals our awareness that he is paying attention to us. And it results in us losing stress and gaining freedom. We must let the Lord defend us. It's not our job. We forgive, we love, and we let the Lord defend us. There's one more part to this passage. It's the seventh thing that David says. He says, "Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Anyone here struggle with worry? You know, fear of the future. It causes so much stress. What if this happens? What if this goes wrong? What if, what if, what if? I know they are endless. You know, when it comes to the future, there's really just two options that we can look at it from. We can look at it from our perspective. You know, what if something goes wrong? You know, what if I don't have enough money? What if I don't have that job? What if somebody walks out on me? What if, what if, what if? Option number one. Option number two, we can look at the future and say, "Surely the Lord's goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life, his goodness and love are mine." I'll take option number two. I choose that one. David knew all the days of his life, goodness and love were following him. And no matter what happens, he's going to heaven. You know, for myself and in my journey and worrying and fear of the future, I've come to realize that whenever I fear for the future, it just reveals a lack of faith in how good Jesus is. If I'm fearful for the future, it shows that I don't have a proper perspective of how amazing heaven's going to be. It reveals a lack of trust that Jesus loves my family more than I do. That he loves me more than I care for myself. Imagine the freedom and the power that comes whenever we worry and look to the future and to stare it in the face and say, surely God's goodness and love is following me. Every day that I am on earth, his goodness, his love, it's mine. And I'm with him forever. Imagine the power that gives. That's living. That's freedom. That's losing stress. And that's the antidote to the stress of the what ifs of what the future holds. Surely your goodness and love follows me all the days of my life. A few weeks ago, I was at a funeral in this room. A devastatingly hard funeral for our church family. A darkest of dark valleys, and my friend Randy was preaching. And he's preaching on Psalm 23. And he said something that I will never forget regarding this psalm. He said that the words you put in front of Psalm 23 makes all the difference. It changes everything. You can put an if before Psalm 23 or a because. If you put an if before Psalm 23, then all that follows is a promise of potential. If you put a because before Psalm 23, then it stabilizes our soul. What word is before Psalm 23 for you? If or because? I don't know all the stories in this room. I don't know the valleys that we're all walking through. I don't know if the Lord's your shepherd. But every single one of us today has a choice to make. We can continue to live in stress, or we can choose to know the Lord as our shepherd and put a because before Psalm 23. Perhaps you've made the choice to put because before, but you've wandered. The Bible talks a lot about sheep wandering. You know what Jesus says? I'll leave the 99 for the one. You may have taken 10,000 steps away. Your shepherd comes. Come back. With me, you'll lack nothing. May every one of us today choose to start Psalm 23 with a because. I want to end by reading Psalm 23 to each of you as if it, well, it is. It is personal for all of you, for all of us. And I want to read it with a because at the beginning. And may we hear our shepherd giving us his promises this morning. Listen to this. Because the Lord is your shepherd, you lack nothing. He makes you lie down in green pastures. He leads you beside quiet waters. He refreshes your soul. He guides you along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though you walk through the darkest valley, you will fear no evil, for God is with you. His rod and his staff, they comfort you. God prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He anoints your head with oil. Your cup overflows. Surely, God's goodness and love will follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, because he is your shepherd. Don't just hear about a promise. Receive it. Start Psalm 23 with a because. It's your choice. It's all of our choice. If or because, it changes everything. We want to end the service this morning by worshiping, like we did last week, by declaring about the goodness and the love of our shepherd. And like Pastor James said last weekend, even if you're a prison singer, you know, you're behind a few bars, you can't find the key, we want to worship and to sing of just how great our shepherd is because he's made all the difference. Because he changes everything about us. So will you stand? Will you sing? Will you worship our shepherd together?